Hello, Yvette Luciano here. Thank you for clicking play. Let's jump in for another Soul to Soul chat. I know that you have an important message and work which the world is craving, and your audience are looking for you, so let's help them find you. At the Soulpreneurs book launch and conference, I invited 4 online marketing experts to share their wisdom with us. Amanda Daly, Kate Byrne, Michael Maidens, and Rachel McDonald. This episode is the live recording of that conversation. We discuss social media, websites, and email marketing, including how to find and help your people, target marketing beyond demographics, how to get clear on what products and services your audience is craving, asking and listening to your audience, the changing and different online platforms, building relationships online, and growing your community. These topics and conversations relate to chapters number 7, Your Audience Awaits, and number 15, Embracing the Digital World in the Soulpreneurs book, available now. A special note on this episode, which is a live recording in a baby-friendly environment, so you may hear that for a moment or two in this audio. Also, the messages of this recording were accurate at time of recording in 2018. I would love to ask our 4 panelists how they would encourage you to get clear on what is the right product for your audience. So we'll start with you, Kate, please.
All right. Well, I have a question straight away. When you say product, I wonder if you mean something that is leverageable that happens over and over, or if it's the way that we work with clients one-on-one, because to me they're different kinds of things. I think the foundation of both of them is that you should ask. I think that's a good place to start. If there's someone that you can ask, if you have a community that you've started being part of and surrounding yourself with, asking is a good starting place with that. And I personally, when I was first starting out, I balanced the asking with thinking about my strengths and what was going to work for me. And I think that still applies, because of course we all have stuff going on in our lives. When I started, I was stuck in bed for a bloody long time. So I couldn't do live things. I couldn't meet people live. I wanted to help out, but I had to really kind of figure out how it was going to be possible for me to do that in a way where I wasn't dragging myself through the mud. So for me, it is asking and then my strengths and what works for me and bring them together in my 2-second answer. I feel like this is something, I could talk about for the next day, but yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think asking and listening, just having your feelers out there, seeing what people are asking in other spaces. For me, when I created my second product, which is my blogging course, I had been doing the one-on-one coaching for probably about a year and a half at that point. And the same questions were coming up again and again. People were asking, you know, what do I write on my About Me page? How do I write a sales page? How do I market myself? And it was just the same stuff coming up in every single coaching session that I had. And so I started making a note of that, because I was saying, you know, really my time is only allowing me to work with this many people, and I know that there's just so many more people that I can touch with a course. And I also knew that connecting people in a community was really big, particularly in the blogging world at that time, which was back in 2014 when I first started. People were just, and they still are, but people were really craving that coming together, you know, coming together with people from around the world, not just in their local community. So yeah, I was just taking note, really, really being conscious of what are they asking? What are they asking me, and what are they asking elsewhere?
Cool. Yeah, I love that answer as well. I actually found also then I thought I want you clients to meet each other as well. Mm. I'm like, yes, I'm answering the same thing over and over, but I actually want you guys to feed off each other too. Yeah. So that could be an extension of the product. If I talk about leverageable things, and it's sort of all types of communication, I feel, in this space where we're helping people and, you know, we're helping them go on a journey and things like that. And what I like to do is I actually like to, you know, take yourself to a place where the most, you know, someone who you know could help you, a really amazing dear friend comes to you and says, oh my goodness, I've got this problem. You know you can share it. You know you can solve it for them, sorry. Except you are just packed your bag, you are heading to the airport, and you're not going to be back for like 6 weeks. If you could create something in like, it will take more than an hour, but let's say if you could actually create something that they could do for the 6 weeks while you're away, what may that look like? What would be the first email that you'd send them? What would be the first, just, you know, depending on what space you're working in, is it clearing out your kitchen? Is it actually going and research? Is it talking to this person? Is it actually just getting centered? Is it going for a walk? Is it just getting to your, making a happy place for you at home? Is it whatever it might be, and actually just think about that journey that you would take someone on if you couldn't communicate with them directly, and that starts to form the basis of your communication and your product.
Love it. For me, when coming up with a product, whether it's a service or a course or anything like that, it has to start with target market. And I think we hear this term target market or niche thrown around so much as if it's, you know, a woman who's 35, who's busy with 3 kids. And that doesn't really help anything. To me, when we're really connecting with our ideal clients, really understanding them, which is what everyone's saying here, we're looking for 2 things, which is what's their pain and what's their desired outcome. And when we can work that out, we can create a service, whether it's a coaching session or a product or whatever that is, that takes people on this journey from their pain to their outcome, which is, you know, similar. I love that idea of the 6 weeks. And to tangibly explain that, like, I work with a lot of health coaches or relationship coaches. We never walk into a pharmacy and go, where's the health coaching tablet? Or where's the improve my relationship tablet? You know, we identify, even at a subconscious level, with, oh, I have indigestion, I'll buy that product. Oh, I'm in fear on this, I'll have this product. So it's really, to me, understanding those pieces and doing that. I think target market's the hardest piece of any business, and actually going, what is someone struggling with and what do they want? From there, then we create the product.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the chapter, Your Audience Awaits, in the Soulpreneurs book, we do dive deeper into this, and everything that you've shared is absolutely spot on, in alignment with that chapter. And there's also a visualization in there, and you can actually listen to the audio of that in the book club, that's free, which is visualizing your audience, a particular audience member, someone or, you know, community member who you would really, really love to help, whether they are a real person or a, you know, person in your vision, and visualizing them in their moment of need and their moment of, you know, the opportunity for you to really help them when they really need something that you can give them. And I definitely find that visualizing them in that way really helps, that both asking them and visualizing, you know, asking them in earthly, you know, real conversation. But if you don't have that opportunity, then yeah, visualizing them in that moment of pain and need where you can, you know, that you can offer them something that will support them in that moment. So and it can be really emotional as well. I know there are a lot of soulpreneurs that have done it and kind of ended up in tears because it's like, oh, they just feel that. Yeah. So once we know what it is that we want to create, so who our audience is and what we want to create for them, if you were starting from scratch tomorrow, for anyone in the audience here today who is starting from scratch tomorrow, what would be
Well, how would you approach, how would you start? What social media platforms or email lists or what would you start online in 2018?
So I actually recently wrote a blog post about this with my steps, literally going through what I would do if I was starting from scratch this year. So I'll forward the link so you can
we'll
send it out.
Have that, Tasha.
But one of the very first things that I would do would be to find between 10 and 20 people that are not my friends necessarily that I can interview in some way. And if you happen to right now be one of those people that gets that request to be interviewed all the time, I apologise for saying that. But I think it's really, really critical in terms of being able to figure out whether or not to help shape your ideas and figure out whether or not you are thinking about the stuff you're thinking about is going to fly, whether it will have wings and be able to take off, and to be able to check the ideas you have against the reality of it. And just that process of putting yourself out there and contacting 10 or 20 people and saying, can I have some time? I've got this. You will feel so great about yourself at the point when you have spoken with 20 people. There are so many people who have started a business that have not done that, and they their business is happening, but they still haven't done that. So I'll give you the blog post, but I think that's a really, really, I know it sounds scary, but it's so worthwhile doing that.
I love that. Such a good idea. So for me, I would approach it in two ways. So one would be the mindset side of things. I think that's really important when you do something new, when you're entering into that unknown space, stuff's going to come up for you. And I think what happens is people get all excited. They've got an idea. They want to start a business. And firstly, they might not know which steps to take, but if they do, they get started and eventually that initial excitement starts to fizzle when all the reality kicks in, and that's where the limiting beliefs come in and the sabotage and that, oh, maybe it's not the right time, you know, maybe the moon, you know, all of that starts to come in. So I would, before you even enter into starting the business, just have that support there, whether it's your girlfriends or your support network in person. It might be your healers. You know, kinesiology is fantastic. Any of that type of thing. Books and resources. Just know that when you start something new, when you enter into that space, it's going to come up because that's just the way that we're wired. So that's the mindset side of things. From a practical side of things online, I would actually start these days with, you know, we're so lucky to have Instagram Live and Facebook Live. So I would jump on there and treat it as your practice, because probably no one will be watching in the first instance. Or it might be your mum, or it might be, you know, a handful of close girlfriends, and that's great. I remember when I started blogging and it was like permission to be terrible, really, because I knew not many people were actually reading it. So I would jump on Instagram Live and you know, have it on Facebook Live as well. And I think, you know, take it a step further by providing, and not every time you do this, but occasionally, provide some kind of summary or checklist or, you know, dot point one pager that people can then go over to email and sign up to receive. So you're taking them, so you're sort of simultaneously building your Instagram and your Facebook, and then you're sending them to your email list as well, just by giving them a resource. And nothing too big, one page is totally fine.
Cool. How I love to approach it, I sort of feel like we kind of reinvent ourselves anyway in throughout our businesses. So although this is a question for the start, it's also a question in iteration as well. And I really put a lot of value into learning cycles. So every time we do something, that we'll actually learn something and we'll be able to then use that knowledge and be able to do it better the next time. What I love to do is, and I suggest a lot of people do, is actually go and be generous, go and give. So start with a place of abundance and actually think, who can I help? I just want to start helping people. And, you know, you don't need paying clients to actually start helping people and actually start to see what the common conversations may be. And it's a form of interviewing in a way, because you're actually getting deep into people's businesses by being quite generous and helping them progress their business along. And you'll start to see things that bubble to the surface. What you'll also find is you'll find which part of helping them you actually enjoy, because we can't really help people all the way from here to here. You have to work out where you want to pick clients up, either in a product or in a service-based business as well, where you want to pick them up and where you want to drop them off, because it's such a long journey. I mean, I've got a background in tennis, and it's not the same tennis coach that teaches the person to hold the tennis racket and win the final. You know, there's a person who'll actually teach the fundamentals, then that coach will hand them off to this, and it keeps on going. It's a little bit the same with us and our clients. So through that process of just helping, not having to be a paid client, you'll actually learn so much about that journey and go, wow, I'm adding the most value here, and I actually want to make sure that I find people who my clients are here, and this is where I drop them off. Once you identify that, it's kind of cool. It's actually, you can then go, right, well, if this is where I'm going to pick the clients up, they're at this stage of their journey, I now need to go and find people who are already serving those clients and actually getting them to that point. And then I can pick them up from there and take them on the next phase of the journey as, you know, a partnership or a relationship or whatever it may be. And then at the end of where I want to drop them off, I'm like, wow, I want to promote my audience to go and listen to this amazing person as well.
For me, I want to talk about the perhaps disconnect in the social media world that we're in, and seeing the businesses that are doing great online, big followings, perception of what's a great business. And the reality is it takes several years to build an online following and the numbers that you would need in most cases to even get a client from online. And the Facebook Lives, Instagrams, all these things, you know, which are the best practice right now, are great for starting to build that. But we have communities right now. I've done the math, at least in coaching, you need maybe 3-4 clients a month to make a really good income. And all of us have those in our families, our friends, our communities that we've worked in. And honestly, most of the time it comes back to the pieces we talked before of knowing what your product is, how to communicate that, and actually the mindset pieces behind that, feeling confident enough to put ourselves out there. We can get out there and start having a business much earlier than we can an online following or a social platform. And I just think it's really important to differentiate those two around what is success. Because also, in my experience, it's not till you start working with clients or selling a product or whatever that is, that you're even going to know what you're doing. Because the confidence will never come from sitting on the sidelines trying to work it out. And it will never come from waiting to have enough social media followers first, or enough whatever that might be. So, I mean, I think everybody here could be out getting paying clients next week if clear on their product, if clear on what they're offering, without any followers at all in the early days.
So I would love for everyone to share something really positive that we can all embrace and do in, sharing ourselves online and connecting and engaging with our communities online.
I'm happy to share my personal experience at the moment and for the past 6 months. Does that count as 2018? Past 6 months? Oh. Okay, cool.
It would more be like the past 3 days.
So I am in love with Insta stories. I don't really post on Instagram on the squares, and I haven't for a long time. And I find I get good engagement. So people might send me a DM saying, oh, my puppy Olive is so cute, or whatever it is, which is really great. And I love connecting with people in that way. But that does not necessarily bring me a whole lot of new eyes and new followers. That is me engaging with my with the people that are already in my sphere, and, you know, so we can kind of party together. there. In terms of what the stats are saying for me right now, I get the most new traffic, and this is so left field, I get the most new traffic coming to my site from Pinterest. Mm. So I know you didn't mention that, and I know that Instagram is so big. I know that there are is it something like 300 million people on Instagram at the moment, and most of them are active daily users. And so I understand, and I love perving on all of your Instagram feeds too. But for new traffic coming to my site and into my world, that is Pinterest. And the second one is still Facebook for me. And those two are really far and away the ones that convert those new people welcoming them into my world. And I have a... I use... And I'm just going to say this really quickly. There's lots of little nuances here, but I think blogging is changing a lot. And I know that's a really big conversation that we can all have. I'm still in love with blogging because I like to write and share in that way. And maybe it's a little less intimidating than being on video for me. But something that I do, a key way that I transition people from, you're just getting to know me, here's some content that hopefully you access it for free, there's no gates in front of that, so you can just come and go as you please. If you'd like to know more, then I'm in love with offering content upgrades. So if there's a post I put a lot of effort into or something like that, then I try to go a step further by creating some next level content if people want to go deeper on that. So maybe a video or a checklist or an ebook or a workbook or something like that. And I, in the blog post, right smack bang in the middle of the blog post, and then again at the end of the blog post, I say, if you want more, click this link and come and get it. So I still am a huge fan of email marketing. In fact, I'd love to hear what you guys think about this.
But I agree on the Instagram stories. That's definitely where the energy is at the moment for me as a creator and for my people. I'm probably finding about 4 to 5 times the number of people are watching my stories than actually coming to my posts and liking my posts or even seeing it with all the changes in the newsfeed and in Instagram. So I'm definitely focusing my attention there. And I tend to just roll with where I know my audience are and what they're responding to. Love the fact that you can get feedback via polls. Lots of people use the DMs. I think, and Yvette, we've talked about this, it has that intimacy of email, but it's just easier for people. And so I'm finding lots and lots of people are reaching out either in response to a story or even just using it as basically an alternative to email to connect deeper or to ask questions and that type of thing. So Instagram is definitely, my number one focus at the moment. I also find that for me, the influx of new people finding my Instagram always comes from when I do things like this, when I'm out in the world, when I'm, you know, connecting with people, even if it's not events, but face-to-face with people, and when I'm connecting with other entrepreneurs or content creators who then share or tag me. That's really where it is. And I've got a really good indication on that because last year I was in a bit of a cocoon and I wasn't doing much out in the world. I was doing stuff, but I wasn't doing a huge amount out in the world in terms of content. And my Instagram definitely was a lot slower in terms of new people finding my stuff. They were definitely watching my stories, but that was just deepening with my existing audience. So this year, as I've stepped it up again and I'm out in the world more, it's moving quickly again. So I would say, you know, connecting with people at events, hosting your own events, commenting or DMing other business owners and creating those relationships, it really comes back to the basis of, what I focused on when I started my business years and years ago, which was people, you know, relationships.
Yeah, amazing. Michael, what are the sort of, what's a positive outlook that you think that we can have in 2018 on ways that we can be marketing our message online?
Yeah, cool. The last word you said is all that I've had running around my head while you both were speaking. It all is just relationship building. Yeah. That's ultimately all it is. And when we look at you've got strategy and then you've got tactics. So the strategy stays the same no matter what the tools are of the time. So at the moment, you know, there might be these tools and these tools and these tools, but ultimately they're just tools to build relationships. So if we can actually look at there's all these opportunities out there, there's all these people, we want to get to know them better, but you can't really get to know people well at a nightclub or a rave party or something like that. You know, are you really going to propose to that person there? You're not. So what you want to do is you may meet people in those environments, which might be sort of Facebook, Instagram, you know, little, you know, where there's a lot of, you know, high touch and opportunity to actually make that initial connection. But then you kind of want to take people to a place away from the nightclub, or, you know, and that might be an email, it might be a Facebook group, it might be something like that, or it might be a podcast. I know that podcasts, a lot of people, the beauty about a podcast is you can actually join people when they're not glued to a computer. You can join them on their morning walk at the beach. You can join them while they're driving to their place of work. You can join them while they've just dropped the kids off and they're heading back home. So I know that a lot of people are really getting a lot of depth of relationship through podcasts at the moment, and sort of come back. You know, it was podcast was 4 or 5 or 6 years ago, and then obviously video. But, you know, we know video. You've got to be looking at something. Your eyes are occupied, whereas podcasts, you can be in people's ears. So, but I do all these other platforms that we don't own, like Facebook, Instagram. You know, we actually don't own them. Your email address, when you have someone's email address, you actually do own that. You can back that up. That's a CSV file or whatever that sits on your computer. And if for some reason your account was no longer yours, then you can still reach out to those people and your business can keep on operating. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Michael.
Oh, so many thoughts. The brain's going left, right and centre. All of that. I think a lot of it is where your audience is hanging out and where you're hanging out and having fun. And I think for me, I'm definitely seeing the Insta stories as well. You know, a lot of energy and a lot of traction on there. But I'm not 100% sure, but I feel that that is more where I'm nurturing and engaging my current followers and maybe picking up a few. But as far as new people coming in and hearing about me, Facebook's still 100-fold. And I think with Facebook, frustrated with the business pages, you know, as we all are. But I think right now in the last few weeks with this algorithm announcement, everyone's freaking out, and I actually don't think anything's changed. Mm-hmm. And Facebook, I experimented with this last year. So I sat with one of my best friends in America. She's one of the top Facebook ads advisors, I'd say, in the world. And she is like, rubbish. You know, she's like, let's sit down. And I sat there and just asked a really heartfelt question. My energy was going into it. I was really focusing. And sure enough, people started engaging in a different way. And then also knowing the algorithms. So I feel like on Instagram, it's easy to almost even copy and see what people are doing and they're tagging and hashtagging. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, it's not as transparent. But if you are getting comments, if you're asking questions where people are commenting and you're leaving a comment back, an emoji back, like actually a different thing, it'll kick in the algorithm and those posts will go off. And I've actually had more engagement on my business page in the last 6 months than the previous 3 years. And yeah, the thing is Facebook Live. It's why Insta Stories, why we love them. We love video. Facebook loves video. Facebook wants to be the owner of video in the world right now. So if you do a Facebook Live, it will get the traffic. It will be the top of the feed. So I'm not at all saying Facebook isn't a, you know, great place, but I think if you choose to put some energy and attention there, where most of us have given up, each time I've experimented with it, gone back in there, really nurtured, I've definitely seen the increase. Yeah. And I've just, then there's Facebook advertising as well. I wanted to touch on that because that might not be for beginners and you do need money, obviously, to be in there. But Facebook is where my traffic comes from. I actually increased my email list 60% in the last 6 weeks from Facebook. So people are there. And, you know, I know we see maybe the Insta stories, for me anyway, is where the fun and the activity is. but not to ignore where people are still hanging out.
Yeah. And I think so much of it is this this relationships thing, and this, because sometimes we can get into that place, you know, that we all do of, oh, Facebook is stuffing up my business, or I can't do anything now because Instagram has made these changes. And it's like, well, no, it was always just a tool for us. Right. It's a tool. It's, you know, it's, so the way that I see it is, or the way that I have to always keep coming back into is, Facebook is not my business. Instagram is not my business. MySpace wasn't my band's business. You know, all that kind of thing. It's just, it's a tool like many other things in helping me get my message out into the world. But there's always going to be a fluidity, and it's always going to change. Mm. It's always going to change. And just, I guess, that surrendering in a little bit, and some of this is going to come down to, you know, your spiritual practices as well, of surrendering a little bit and just having faith as well in that everything is happening for a reason and a purpose, and that sometimes things do run their course. And quite often, you know, like everything in life, when something is kind of taken away from us, it's because something even better is coming. And I think that as, you know, the online world continues to evolve and online platforms continue to evolve, the coolest thing is that so can we. And as far as I'm concerned, I get bored of stuff anyway. So, you know, it was exciting when Instagram started, and it was like, oh yeah, I'm bored of Facebook anyway. As a consumer, as a reader, as a, you know, the people that I follow, now I get to see them on Instagram, not just Facebook. Now I get to see them on Insta stories, and it feel even more of a, I've got a relationship with these people that I, you know, admire or that inspire me. So, you know, switching into that place of like gratitude and surrender, and just knowing that it's cool for that to evolve. There was this massive, massive freak out when the MySpace change happened. All these artist careers that are going to die now, all these, you know, all of that kind of thing. But here's the thing. The artists that had created deep relationships with their community through MySpace, their audience followed them. Mm-hmm. Their audience followed them. And, you know, there are still some artists that I today think about and go, oh, I remember following them on MySpace and it was so cool. It was so fun following them, and da da da. And then I go and like, I Google them and I see what they're up to now. And then I go and follow them on Spotify, and I go and there's one in particular who, you know, she blamed MySpace for ruining her whole career and all that kind of thing. But now she's kind of, you know, 10 years later, let that resentment go and building her career again. But it was just like, well, you know, it wasn't MySpace's fault. Yeah. You know, like, but also that if you are developing this amazing, nice relationship with your community and really being of true service and really helping people, then they're going to come and find you wherever you are. I really, really believe that. I don't believe that a social media platform is going to be the, you know, be the end of a relationship that you have with your community. Like, I would love to hope, I hope that if Facebook was to die tomorrow, that all the solopreneur community would, you know, find each other in different ways again. And I believe that. I genuinely believe that, that that would just happen. And it's because I have the faith in that. So I think sometimes we just put way too much, oh, I'm going to give up because I did a Facebook post and only two people saw it. Oh, I'm just going to, you know, give up on my business for today, and it's going to take me, you know, another week to get back in the zone. I think it's almost like a bit of a scapegoat, and it's almost like an excuse on, oh, well, that's that, you know, whereas instead we come into this place of getting really creative and having fun and experimenting and playing with different ways of doing things, and just seeing it more as like, you know, a playful game or something. I don't know. I think there can just be so much negativity and stress and freak out. Like every time there's an announcement about a new algorithm, a change or something, everyone's like, chaos, you know. And it's just, I just don't think it needs to be that.
I'd like to even offer that it's actually rewarding people like us who actually care about people following them and are giving good value. And maybe that's what you were sort of suggesting as well.
That's the thing with the Facebook.
It's actually rewarding us and clearing out the people who are faking it or shallow or whatever, because my understanding is it's actually just wants to connect people with people. And if that's where our primary, you know, whole communication is, then we should actually bubble to the top.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to do a, because there's a million other questions that I'd love to ask you guys, but we'll do just a little quick one of, I'm going to say different things, then you tell me what you feel is, has more expansiveness and opportunity in 2018. Webinars or Facebook Lives? It doesn't mean that one is bad and the other is good. It's just where are you personally leaning in your business towards?
So I'm doing both. And when I say both, I mean at the same time. So with Zoom, I've discovered that I can live stream to Facebook. So if I'm doing a webinar, then I live stream it to my free Facebook group. Yeah. And the reason why I do that is because Zoom records it. So then I've got the recording. It's all kind of done like that. I think that, I like getting the registrations. I like having some reports that I'm able to get on that. But I don't... Yeah. I like both at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. Does anyone have anything...
Agree, and I don't actually think they're the same thing. I think webinars are more for conversion, and the Facebook Live is more for nurturing and engagement. So, yeah, we can do the webinars and add to our Facebook Lives, but I feel they're different tools for different aspects.
Yeah. YouTube or Insta Stories?
Insta Stories.
Does anyone have anything...
contradictory?
Well, one's sort of short term and one's long term. So there's a concept of obviously having pillar content, which is going to stand the test of time, and also into how you can create content. Do you like jumping in front of a camera, you know, that often, at what frequency, or would you prefer to go deep and play a longer term game? And they're kind of two different tactics for different strategies.
That was one of the things that we were talking about before backstage, about how the question, which was one of the next questions, of timeless versus trending, and that, so timeless, an example would be YouTube. The timeless meaning that it's going to be there, it's going to stay there, and it's going to still be there in 3 years' time, versus trending, which is something like an Insta story that's only up for 24 hours, which thanks to the highlights and, you know, a few other things that we, and the fact that we can save our stories and use them later, that's great. But essentially it's, you know, designed to just be up there for 24 hours. But then the question of, so myself as an example, that I can record a YouTube video, a video for YouTube, upload it, and over the course of about 3 months, I'll probably get the same amount of viewers on that video as I would have in 24 hours of an Insta story, but stats-wise. So, but then there's pros and cons of both and either that, but then that YouTube video is there forever and anyone can find it at any time. Whereas Insta stories, only the people that currently follow me are going to see it. But so it's not necessarily saying that one's better or worse. It's just the weighing up. So, I mean, in a perfect world, you'd probably say, oh, just do both, just do all. But someone like me and a lot of our speakers, and I'm sure a lot of you, are being really, really mindful these days of energy consumption. Where is my energy best spent? If I've got 3 hours, if I want to dedicate, 3 hours this week to creating video content, do I want that to be Insta stories? Do I want that to be YouTube videos? Do I want that to be Facebook Lives? I try to look at how I can do it so it benefits all things at once.
When you're asking that question, you're asking that question, what outcome are you creating video for? Is it just for, we have to watch our ego sometimes that we're doing it for likes, or are we actually looking for,
And I think, was it Amanda that said that, was it you, Kate, that said, we were backstage talking about how, Insta stories is more it's the relationship nurturing. It's the...
We spoke about that.
Yeah, you and your online...
The behind the scenes. Insta stories is great for the behind the scenes and just to get a feel for a person, whereas it's instructional, and particularly business content. We talked about that. in our unofficial poll, you know, are we watching business content on Insta stories? Probably not as much, unless it's quick little tips. It's not sitting there and watching, you know, 5 minutes of here's a topic on, you know, how to grow your Facebook page or your Instagram. We do seek that out on YouTube or on other platforms, and I think Insta stories is the snippets and, you know, get to know me, get to know my life and what I love behind the scenes.
Yeah. Is Tara here?
I was really inspired listening to Gala talk about what's driving her and where her attention is at the moment. And because she was mentioning that she loves putting her writing focus into books. And just as she was talking, I was like, oh, God, that sounds really nice, you know? And I was feeling the same. And so I just went to my audience and first of all, I asked them, what do you prefer, blog posts or poddies, like podcasts? Which one do you like? And 2/3 podcasts. And then a few hours later, I just asked, now what do you prefer, blog posts or books in terms of written content? 2/3 said books. Yeah, and so I was just so excited. I'm like, I know where I need to go. This is clarity, and thank you for engaging with me. And this makes life really easy and juicy for me to think about what I want to create.
Thanks.
Hi, everyone. So you guys were talking about like Facebook Live, Insta Stories, YouTube. So here's what I do. I broadcast on Instagram Live and Facebook at the same time, one on my phone, and I turn my phone sideways. So people have to look at it sideways on Instagram, but it doesn't really matter. And then I save the recording from my phone because the quality is better than my laptop for the Facebook, and I put it on fucking YouTube. So you create it once, and it lives in three places.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time making it over and over again. And what I do with it is I make it like a... I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. She was like, oh, I like making videos, but it's kind of sporadic. So create a standing date with your audience. So every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, I'm on and I'm talking about law of attraction every week, and it builds on itself. And so I have a playlist on YouTube that when people like tell me about law of attraction, I'm like, start at number one, work your way through. There's now 10 videos and I just keep adding to it. So yeah, make it easy for yourself. Like make it easy.
Yeah, so that's awesome. Yeah. I love that. And I've definitely started doing that as well, of going, okay, well, I've got to do this thing. How many different, you know, ways can this energy and this what I'm putting into this be, you know, shared in different ways that people want to consume, the different people in my community? Because, you know, and even going a step further from that could be like get the audio, you know, pulled from it and have that go onto a podcast, because there are some people that might not want to, you know, watch Insta or Facebook or watch YouTube, but they're totally happy to plug in a, you know, they'd love to listen to Gala when they're going for a drive or a run or something. So, yeah, just being really clever like that, I think, because the energy consumption thing that we're all really, really becoming more and more mindful of these days is, you know, it is just that being clever, right? Yeah.
And not even like, take the key points and put that as a Facebook or an Instagram post, like the summary, and direct people to the full video.
Yeah. Totally. So cool.
Can I just add one more thing?
Yeah.
One of the unique things we get to do here is that, like Denise was saying before about, oh, but that person's already talking about that, that person's talking about that. People tend to like you because they are like you. That's what tends to happen. We kind of follow people who are sort of a reflection of us. We see a bit of ourselves in them. And I feel that when you've got the Insta stories and those different tools, you actually get to give people an insight into your life and your personality. It's your dog, it's your beach, it's your waterfall, it's whatever you wear, without it actually being a part of... You're not actually... It's not in the marketing phase, but it kind of... is, because you're creating this I'm like you, and I'm sharing myself just openly and transparently, and hopefully you'll see a bit of yourself in me. And then when it comes to a future offer, then they've got that deeper relationship.
So good. I'm going to ask one more question, and then we will go to a couple of audience questions. We've probably got time for maybe 3 audience questions on this topic. So if you do have a question, please put your hand up. Great, there's a few. So we'll get 3 of you ready to go. While I ask the question of
How important, so this kind of ties in as well to, I'm going to tie this into two different questions. One is flashy versus DIY. So the, which also ties into the next question of how important are the fancy websites these days? So I know that Rach definitely had something to.
Yeah, well, on the flashy versus DIY, Denise wrote a really awesome post a couple of days. It was a few days ago, last week sometime, on Instagram about her process with doing, investing in professional videography and lighting and all of that versus her videos that are just more real, and her audience actually prefer that, which I thought was really, really great. I've heard that multiple times from big online marketers and entrepreneurs that they just love, you know, grab the phone and start talking or open your laptop and start talking. So I think we're just seeking that resonance, like you just said. We want to see that someone is just like us, that they're sitting around in their, you know, they're not all dressed up, they're sitting in their yoga gear and just chatting. I think we're really looking for that. In terms of websites, again, I think we're in such a shift with blogging at the moment, so it'll be really interesting to see how that continues to move this year. I think certainly we need a home for our products and our pillar posts, like those key articles that really tell people what we do and how we can solve a problem for our audience. So I think we certainly need that home base, but whether we need to invest, you know, $10,000, $20,000 in it is really up to you and the stage of business you're at. You definitely don't need that to start out, not at all.
Does anyone have anything to add on to that? Or
I think it's important to add, I think that branding is still important. So when I think of DIY website, I agree. I don't think people need to necessarily invest $10,000 or $20,000 in blogs, and it doesn't need to do a lot of bizarre, weird things. But I think still having a brand, a brand promise and a story that is associated with your brand, whether that's your story or another story, I think that's still a really powerful part of your business. So I don't want people to forget that. I think the DIY is like the behind the scenes. But
yeah, I think brand, you know, it still needs to look professional and it still needs to look in alignment with you and how you want your community to feel when they land on your website. You know, a nice professional photo of you. And when I say professional, I don't mean in a suit. I mean like, you know, with a professional photographer, you know, with a nice big, you know, smile. And one of the briefs that I gave Carla when we were doing updating my website was I said, I just want it to be really, really simple. I want it to be basic, just really basic functionality-wise, just basic, just only the info that they need. But beautiful. I still wanted it to be beautiful. I still wanted my community to feel like, you know, someone that doesn't really know me that comes onto my website for the first time is like, oh yeah, I feel like I can trust her. I feel like, you know, she, you know, respects her business and respects what she does, but it's really simple and the functionality and the, it's just really, really basic.
So only a few years ago, it feels like people were paying like $5,000, $10,000 for their websites. And I pulled together my website on a Squarespace site in 2014 in a weekend because I needed to get an offer out. And I've never changed it. And yes, it has nice photos. And, you know, yes, all of us would like to keep updating those or et cetera. I think it's really important to have a professional presence, but I don't even know if it's still out there as much now, but there was a big emphasis on you've got to have WordPress and you've got to have all the plugins and you've got to know, you know, all these pieces and again, all the blogs and everything. And I just don't think that the money that people at least were, and I do see people still doing that, waiting to get their website right, paying a developer to do it. I think they look nicer on something simple like Squarespace, and I'm yet to hit a functionality issue with it. Yeah.
I'd love to give two quick examples further to what we've been speaking about, which is that using Gabby as an example, Gabby Bernstein, she became, our solopreneur students know this because she shared it with them, that she became a multiple New York Times bestselling author, multiple seven-figure earner on a $3,000 website. She only had her website redone for the first time in like 10 years at the beginning of last year, I think it was. Mm.
And it's just like, there's just no difference for her. She's just like, even that was like, she could still just kept running on that $3,000 website from 10 years ago. So, and the other thing is, as far as videos, one of the things that Hay House said to me when we were in the whole everything to do with this book was, I said, oh, do you want me to get some fancy videos done? And do you want me to do this and do this and do that? And they came back to me after their marketing meeting overseas and said, nah, we want it to be just really real, really raw, really you, just filmed in your bedroom or filmed in your office. Just that's what we want from you, and that's what I think that they're briefing everyone on. And they actually, and then they actually said something to me recently about some videos that I did for them that we haven't put out yet, but was that they actually want it to be even more raw, the look of it. So I'm going to redo, and it's so funny to be in a situation that I'm actually redoing videos to make them look even less raw. And these are videos that were recorded on my iPhone in my bedroom with me sweating like crazy in the Sunshine Coast humidity. So it just goes to show that, and it's so exciting for all of us because seriously, if you've got an iPhone, you can be doing all of these things, or any, you know, it doesn't even need to be an iPhone, just a smartphone. Like, it is so cool that that's where we're at now. The only thing is professional photos.
Yes, definitely.
And Emma Newby, who is our photographer this weekend, is insanely amazing as well. So, okay, questions.
I'm just going to come from a different angle. My business model is I live half the time in Amsterdam and I bring back products to work with companies to make them go viral. Now, in a certain way, I'm looking at the angle of how do I come to the Instagrammers and the world in a business way to get you to promote the product, and what's a process that is approachable to reach you guys as opportunities to also make my brand go viral. Does that make sense?
Are you talking about influencer marketing?
Yeah, so like if, you know, do you guys have agents and Instagrammers now, you meant to go through agents, or is it, can you DM you guys directly, or how is the most sort of kind of way to get involved with you guys as products?
I can't think of anyone on this panel besides actually Luke, who has an agent, who has a, is that right?
Yep.
Please, you know, maybe there's a couple of book agents, so that, you know, but as
just
far as...
Just like to collaborations, as you've discussed before, the best
just
way.
Alignment, really.
Yeah.
It's just if the product fits the story of your whole, your brand and your Instagram, I think that's the big thing. It certainly when I think of when brands get in touch and the ones that I go, oh, that could work. I think my audience would appreciate that, or they'd like to know more about that. It's always when it just works, like it just fits in, or else if it's something that's a really unique product that I know they'll get some use out of, but I'm always bringing it back to my audience, like, will they resonate with this? And the really great thing with Instagram, actually, you can go quite deep. If you've got it set up as a business profile, you can now go deep into the analytics. So you can see if you've shared it on your Instagram story and you know, you can see who's swiped away, you can see who's actually clicked the tag to go through the profile. So you can get some useful data with that. But yeah, always coming back to, is this useful for my audience?
Yeah. And I think there's some really basic stuff about approaching anyone for anything. Stuff like, don't act like a robot. Make it really clear that you're a person. Individualize the communication. I get so many emails and DMs to Betty, and that's great because I feel like that's step one in making the effort. But actually, my name's Kate. And that information is on the website and other stuff as well. So, I think making it clear that you know who you're approaching and that... you have there's a reason why you think this is going to be really cool to do. So, and sharing your excitement about it.
I'm really excited to continue many of these conversations with you in the coming weeks and months, perhaps even bringing back some of these experts and more. Please email team@soulpreneurs.com with any questions you would like us to cover in the next episodes. Thank you for listening to this episode of Soulpreneur Sessions. Please remember to subscribe on iTunes for new podcast updates and give us a 5-star rating and review on there to help share the show with more souls who need it. This show is proudly independent, ad-free and sponsor-free, now and forever. So your shares and support are what keeps us going. I've been your host, Yvette Luciano, the author of Soulpreneurs, which is available now online and in bookstores all around the world. Please get your copy and we will see you next time here on Soulpreneur Sessions.